Are the two things that I mentioned connected at all, or do you just think about a wide variety of things?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the program. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about my work and some of the things we've been doing. There's two things that seem so different, which is sensing for biological systems and making the internet faster, turn out to have some pretty deep connections. They're all related at the end of the day to the way things behave on very short length scales, down at the sort of nanometer scale, and how things behave at very fast time scales when you're trying to process in nanoseconds.
When you think about these things, I'm going to ask you in a broader term rather than a specific thing that you're working on. When you think about these things, how do these ideas develop in your brain? How do you think about ways that you want to approach problems or questions from unique vantage points?
So these problems, I have a big help because nature applies a certain set of rules that are pretty consistent. And if you know those rules, you can make some good guesses about where to go next. In both cases, these things were guided by some progress that other people have made, where I saw that they're doing some really neat things with spins and diamonds in one case, or the way photons move around in various crystals. And it's just a matter of seeing that and realizing that that has some other applications to it, and then pushing forward on those other applications. So it's a bit of brainstorming with a lot of hard work behind it.
In a theoretical sense, is what you do, the way that you approach problems, is what you do something that someone can learn how to do, or a skill that someone can refine, or is this something that you have a sense that you're able to do and it's much more difficult for other folks to do?
Well, I'd like to think that everyone can do it if they had the time to learn the tools and spend the time thinking about these problems. But, not everyone's going to want to spend that time. And even if you did, not everyone's going to be able to get their head around some of the mathematics and sort of underlying story. The analogy I like to think about is that mathematics is a very alien language. And to think in mathematical terms, you have to think a little bit differently than our normal human approach, and not everyone does that very well. So if you can do that, then I think the rest of it is just a matter of time, effort, and a little bit of creativity.
I mentioned the better medical imaging and the fitting more data through the internet pipe as I brought you onto the program, Jacob. Talk about the MRI issue. What was the dilemma or problem or challenge that you saw, and what was your approach to trying to improve on it or fix it?
So MRI is a wonderful technology, very well established, where you can look at pretty big portions of inside a human or an animal as they're living. And what you would like to be able to do is take the size that you can see and make it a lot smaller, so you can go from organisms to maybe individual cells. That being said, it's not very much signal. There's not a lot of material there to get a signal from, and there's a huge challenge about how you extract that information. So what we realized was that there are some impurities in diamond, which have some nice properties, which might allow you to get into that region and see what's going on down at the sort of cellular level rather than the organism level. I have to admit, it wasn't really intuitive at first, but it's turned out to be a very credible way to get information there.
Jacob Taylor is a physicist with the National Institute of Standards and Technology and a finalist for a Service to America medal. As I read the Partnership for Public Services materials about you and how you became a finalist, it struck me that you have a tremendous amount of latitude in what you're studying. Is that latitude and the recognition like this, is that what draws you to continue serving in government? I imagine someone with your skill set and background would be in demand in the private sector or in academia or so forth.
So one of the things I really appreciate about working at the National Institute of Standards and Technology and working for the government is that my managers and the people above me are willing to take a long view. They're willing to look not to how many papers did you publish this year, or how many patents did you file, or did you make an invention, but rather, is what you're doing today going to help the nation in 20 years? And that type of long view is something that's really hard to do outside of government. So for me, it's a no-brainer. If I want to do really interesting things on a long-term basis, that's the way to go.
How did you find out that you were a finalist for this award, Jacob?
Well, I got a phone call from one of the people who oversee the SAMMYs, who was actually trying to figure out the best way to describe what I do. He's a longtime journalist who's been working with the SAMMYs organization now to build the profiles that you see online. And he let me know that I was a finalist, and then we spent some time talking about what I do and how to portray it in terms that, you know, everyone can understand, because sometimes I get caught up in the details, and it's helpful to have someone to help you parse that out.
I agree with that, and I appreciated his ability to do, or her ability to do that. As I read the synopsis about you and your career, it says that you've made pioneering scientific discoveries that in time could lead to significant advances in healthcare, communications, computing, and technology. You've conceived a number of original theories, including a way to vastly improve magnetic resonance imaging, which we've talked about. Also responsible for a major breakthrough that could eventually permit the routing of greater quantities of information over the internet than now possible while using reduced levels of energy. And I'm fascinated by the fact that you have your fingers in so many different pies, that you're looking at so many different things at any given time. Is it difficult to try to separate them, or is that maybe not desirable, as it may be effective to think about things that may not be connected in similar ways?
Well, the way I look at it, this is an example of how so-called interdisciplinary study is pretty useful. That is, The physical principles engaged are somewhat similar, but only if you keep your mind open to some things that are happening in disparate fields do you start to see these possible connections. So I definitely enjoy taking some time every day learning about some things I didn't know about before, but I still have to center myself down and focus on just a few problems at any given time. It happens to be that these are the ones that have been very interesting in the last bit of time, and that's been very lucky for me, and hopefully for others who can one day use these things to make some, you know, technology and some devices to help our lives.